There's a way we need to read the Bible and a way that we need to look at it that sometimes I'm afraid we fail to do. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at the Bible as a rule book, and we look for the rules that we are to follow, rather than looking at the Bible as the revelation of God and of Jesus Christ to us, and that every book points us to Jesus, points us to who he is and what he is about, and what he has done for us and what he has said. And even in the New Testament is telling us about Jesus and who he was and what he did and what he spoke, what he would have us to do, and then showing us how to be the people that belong to him. And one of the places where that can be seen so clearly and so obviously is in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're going to take a look at the first 12 verses of that Sermon on the Mount. And we ask these questions before we go into these Beatitudes that are given to us. How would Jesus have us to be? What does he want us to be like? And how does he want us to live? Who are the kingdom people? And that's exactly who he describes for us in these Beatitudes and in this Sermon on the Mount. And that's who's described for us in every book of the New Testament. This New Testament gives us a picture of who these kingdom people are. Who's Jesus looking for? And maybe that's even the wrong question. What does following him cause me to be? Because following him is what it's all about. And so I want you to open your Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to take a look at these verses. We'll do them fairly quickly, but I want us to take a look at what Jesus is telling us. And I'm going to put a title up as we start. And I'm going to entitle the first few as Moving Toward It. Well, what is it? Well, it's the image Christ would have us to bear. It's the likeness of him. It's being like him, but the Bible uses a particular word to describe it. And the Bible talks about that particular word in very specific ways that we need to understand and we need to be clear about. And we'll get to that in just a minute, but as we are thinking about these early Beatitudes, I want you to look at them from the standpoint of moving toward it. In other words, these are not things that you began and then can stop because you've reached the goal. But these are things you begin with, because without them, you're never going to get there. These are things that we begin with, and these are things that continue all through our life. But right now, they are in the process of moving toward what it is that we're after and what it is that we're striving for. So what do we do? Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit. The word poor actually carries with it the idea of poverty stricken. Those that are poor in spirit are those individuals that know that they don't have it in themselves, and they never can. They never can in themselves be what God would have them to be. They never can in themselves become what they're striving to become. They never can be what God would have them to be, not on their own. They know it, they see it, and they recognize it. And when they see it and they recognize it, it has an impact on all of them. In the same way. And thus Jesus will go, blessed are they that mourn. Those who recognize their own shortcomings, their own faults. Those who recognize that they are not what they ought to be and evidently never will be. And they are crushed as a result of it. Crushed because they know that they will never be what God would have them to be. And so they cry out like Paul did, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this misery that I am in? Paul came to see himself as he was. And when he came to see himself as he was, it crushed him. And Jesus says there's a blessing to those individuals who do that. There's a blessing to those individuals who do not go through life thinking that they are better than others, who do not go through life thinking they have a closer relationship with God than others because of who they are and because of what they've done. But they go through life recognizing their own shortcomings and recognizing how much further they have to go in order to become what God would have them to be, and on their own, they're never going to make it. And that idea crushes them. And there's a reason for that. And then, moving toward it, recognizing they'll never make it on their own, they're willing to listen. They're willing to yield. They're willing to surrender. And so Jesus will say, "Blessed are the gentle, the meek." The meek and the gentle have all kinds of descriptions that are given to this particular word all through the Bible. But the one that I think comes the closest to what Jesus has in mind here is the description that is given to Moses. There is a parenthetical statement. A statement that is put in parenthesis in the middle of an event in order to describe something about Moses, in order to describe something about what's going on in the event. And that parenthetical statement, well, I should have put up gentle. What does gentle mean? It's a learner. It's somebody that's teachable, somebody that's coachable, somebody that will listen, somebody who is a learner. And now that parenthetical statement is from Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. And in that place, the Bible will say, "Now the man Moses was very humble." Some translations will say meek. Same Greek word when translated into the Septuagint or the Greek translation of the Old Testament as is used in Matthew chapter 5. Now the man Moses was very gentle, meek, humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Now to get idea of what this verse is talking about and this description of Moses, we have to understand the verses that surround it. And Numbers chapter 12 is the place where Miriam and Aaron take Moses to task and tell him that he has taken too much responsibility upon himself, because God has not only spoken through him, God has spoken through them. And they have as much right to authority and as much right to the leadership of this people as Moses did. And he has no right to be taking this upon himself. And then the Bible inserts this parenthesis, which means what? Evidently, Moses was listening. Evidently, Moses was paying attention to what his sister and brother were saying to him and about him. And if he listened to them, then God's way of doing things to the children of Israel and the position that God had placed Moses in would be lost. And so the Bible tells us that God intervenes. And God comes down and he says, "Why were you not afraid to speak to my servant this way? Why were you not afraid to talk to him like this?" Whenever I speak to somebody, I'll speak in dreams and I'll speak in other ways. But when I speak to Moses, I speak to him face to face. And in order that they might learn, Miriam is stricken with leprosy. And the camp waits on her until God eventually heals her of her leprosy. But the key is Moses. And the reason why he is said in this context to be the meekest man in the world, the gentlest man in the world, the most humble man in the world, he would listen. And this time he's listening when he ought not to be listening. He's allowing himself to be persuaded when he ought not to be allowing himself to be persuaded. And God intervenes. But taking it back to the context, blessed are the gentle, the ones who know they need to learn, and the ones who are willing to learn, the ones who will listen, and the ones who will pay attention. So these are the ones moving toward it. These are the ones who are moving toward where God would have us to be. They recognize their own faults. It breaks their heart and crushes them. And they know that they on their own will never be what God would have them to be. but they will listen to him. They will pay attention to him. And they will put their trust in him. And then he comes to getting it. Verse 6. Righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. How do you get it? How do you satisfy this hunger and this thirst? When we look at the Bible and we come to understand it, we realize that this righteousness is not something we attain. It's something given to us. It is what God gives to us through Jesus Christ. It is what we are counted as being when we put our trust in Christ Jesus. And God gives us this great gift of righteousness because of our faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Because of our trust in him. And the individual who recognizes I can never get there on my own, who sees his own shortcomings and his own faults, and the individual who desires to do whatever God would have him to do and is willing to listen, he puts his trust in Jesus, and God gives him this thing called righteousness, being right with God, being acceptable to God. And it comes about by trust in Jesus Christ, who is God's great gift to us. And righteousness becomes God's great gift to us. And so we strive to be like him. We strive to live like him. Because he is our righteousness and he is our peace. These are the kingdom people. The people who put their trust in Christ, who put their trust in him and strive to be like him. And the Beatitudes go on. And the next section is living it. Living as God would have us to live in Christ Jesus. And the first in that section is verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Can you understand the mercy that now overwhelms you? The mercy that you have received? When you recognize I can never be on my own what God would have me to be, and he has given me this righteousness by his grace and his mercy. And now on my part, recognizing the gift I have been given, I freely give it to those who have wronged me in an almost insignificant way. Compared to the way that I have wronged God. And God has granted me this mercy and this kindness. And now I grant this mercy and this kindness to others. And God will tell us, if you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven. If you don't return this forgiveness you have received to others, then this forgiveness you have received will be rescinded. If you don't show yourself merciful to others, then the mercy you have received will be rescinded. And so blessed are the merciful, the ones who understand what they've received, who understand what they have been given, and they're giving it back. They give what they have received back to others. And then verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart. Because you actually fail at all the other things that have come before. Being poor in spirit. And mourning about it. And in teaching. Being teachable. Being coachable. If this is not from the inside out. Because if all that I am is just show for other people, something I'm about when I am around certain ones, a face that I put on when I'm around my fellow Christians, and a face I take off when I'm around those that I don't care for or those that I want to impress. Pure in heart. It's real. It's genuine. It's not for show. Jesus was real. And every aspect of his life and everything that he did was because he served God from his heart. And so he was the same no matter where he was and no matter who he was with. And in order for us to be like him, we must be the same. And it's not about putting on a show. It's about being real and genuine. Because the change takes place on the inside. The change takes place in the heart. Living it. We strive to please him in every single thing that we do. Then verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. The peacemakers. Those who bring others to God, that they can share in this peace and they can share in this righteousness. And those who bring others to each other. Not trying to destroy. Not trying to separate. But being peacemakers. Doing the work that Jesus did. Coming to seek and save the lost. By bringing others to God. And bringing others to each other. We live it. This righteousness. This walking with God that we have received from Jesus Christ. Then verses 10 through 12, blessed are the persecuted. In order to be persecuted, it means you have to live this life open and unashamed. Openly and unashamedly, living it and declaring it to others. Not just speaking of it when you're around those that are in agreement with you, but speaking it when you're around those that are not in disagreement with it. Which is what Jesus did. And because he lived this life and he spoke this life, and he spoke it continually, and he spoke it openly, and he spoke it truthfully, they killed him. And he said they would do the same to those of us who chose to be kingdom people. Those of us who chose to follow him. We become the light of the world. We become the salt of the earth. And people will despise us. And people will hate us. And people will say all kinds of things against us falsely. Because of the name of Jesus. Because we dare to walk with him. And these Beatitudes in the first 12 verses of Matthew chapter 5 give us a brief description of what the entire Bible is about. Showing us who Jesus is. Showing us exactly who he is and what he's about and what he's done and what he says. And how we go about living for him. And as Jesus begins the Sermon on the Mount, he puts it all in a nutshell. And he says it here. This is how you begin. You recognize the fault and the sin that's within you. Let it break your heart. And then have a desire to want to know, want to be taught, and want to change. And come to Jesus to learn. And when you come to Jesus in trust, knowing that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you turn your life over to him, God will count you righteous. God will give you righteousness. Now go share what he's given to you with those who do wrong to you. And grow in him. Become an individual who's leading others to God and helping each other come closer to each other. And do it no matter what happens. No matter what others think, no matter what others do to you, be faithful to him until you die. And then you will be given the crown of life. That's what this life is all about. is coming to know Christ and living to be like him. Are you in Christ this morning? Do you need to come home to him? If you need to respond to his invitation, that invitation is offered to you as together we stand and as we sing.